Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
The friend zone, and it is Tim and Guy. I mean, these are the facts, and you are yourself, and you can't be anyone else. And if you're trying, stop, unless you're trying to be a better version of yourself, in which case, fill your frickin' boots. How are you, Tim?
Hey, Guy, I'm doing all right, eh? I feel like I've strained my voice from we just recorded an episode of the podcast, and I think I'm talking so little at the moment because we're in lockdown that, like, It's strained my voice, which is not good.
Have you and your beautiful wife still got things to talk about?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What sort of ground are you covering?
Talk a bit about our impending child coming out and the planning around that. We've got a cool dog that we talk about. We've been watching some cool... We watched a TV show co-starring... Your partner, Chelsea Crayford Preston, called the Panthers.
Preston Crayford.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
No, not at all. It's not my surname. Yeah, man. We finished that ourselves last night.
How good is that show? I was a big fan. I did see some critique of it, which I was like, fine, whatever. But I think it was fucking awesome.
Here's the thing, Tim. If you make a show, there's going to be some critique of it.
There doesn't need to be. Can't people just, like, just respect it? I know this is pretty rich coming from us, but, you know, sometimes just lay off.
Yeah. No, I thought it was fantastic. And if you're in New Zealand, all of the Panthers is available to stream on TVNZ on demand.
Chelsea's such a good actor. It's crazy.
I know.
It was very, like, heart-wrenching seeing all the stuff her character goes through.
Yeah. It was episode 3, her character has a pretty big episode, and I found some of that to be a pretty tough watch.
Yeah, big time, albeit. Anywho.
You had any laughs?
Lots of laughs, mate. I've been returning to my streaming show, Happening, which you featured on the last episode of.
Oh, yeah.
For
I love
a new
Happening.
Segment called The Single Greatest Thing That's Ever Happened. I keep changing the name each time. It's called The Greatest Thing That's Ever Happened in This Country.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Happening's good. Happening's keeping me. As long as I'm busy, I won't go insane. And so I've just kind of been keeping myself busy.
I've been reading a book.
What book are you reading?
I'm reading a book called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Any good?
Tim, this is a book that was in the zeitgeist, I'd guess, about 10 years ago. I think it's been adapted into a film, both in its native Swedish and like an American version starring Natalie Portman.
Yeah, I think Daniel Craig might have been in it. Maybe I'm making that up.
This book fucking rules.
Oh, really?
It's literally exactly... I mean, I picked it up for a reason. I've heard it's very easy to get through. It's a thriller. It sort of draws you right in, and it is hitting the frickin' spot. I love it. Literally, as soon as we finish this recording, I'm going to pick it back up and keep going until it's done.
Good on you. It sounds like a modern-day Dan Brown kind of thing, where it's just like a bit pulpy and fun, but interesting.
Do you know what? I've not read any Dan Brown, but I think the analogy is probably on the money. I feel like it's, you know, it's I mean, it's very well realized and executed, and it's also incredibly accessible. It's just, it's I've probably spoken about this on the podcast before. I feel quite passionately about it. I think I feel similarly to people's relationship to reading as I do about running, I think, where it's like people, they don't have the right relationship to it. They look at it as a burden or something not to look forward to, something that's hard to do. And by all means, sometimes I'm for reading challenging things for self-betterment. But if you make picking up a book as appealing as picking up a remote or picking up a phone, like if you're reading for pleasure, for pure pleasure, if you get into that spot with a book, it is just like it's a very potent form of escapism. And I love it. I think the same thing with running. When people go out for a run and they start too hard and too fast, and it's like, go as slow as you want and literally set tiny little goals and you have the time of your life.
I reckon I go I think this is a good little tip. This is something I do. I go running purely for my mental health. I don't go running at all for my physical health.
It's almost a byproduct of you looking after your brain.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's very effective. That's like the one thing that every bit of clinical research into mental health and mental health issues comes back with. It's just like, you know what definitely helps? Exercise and fresh air.
And you know what? Maybe it's not even running. Maybe it's just walking around. Yeah. Maybe it's walking down a street you've not walked down before.
Metaphorically or for realsies?
Literally for real. Every lockdown, I try to run down every... Like, I'm expanding the field of streets I've run down surrounding my neighborhood. No stone unturned, Tim. I'm going to rob every single one of these motherfuckers.
In my head, Baker Street is playing so loudly.
Yeah.
When you said walk down a street you've never been down before, my brain just went Baker Street, and then a screaming alto sax solo just fucking got in there, going hard. Are you out of messages?
I'm just checking.
I've got
literally
so
right
many.
Now.
I should I don't know, forward them to you or something.
I reckon I'll have some.
Because mine are an email. I'll kick off then. Jesus, this is girthy. Greg's written to us, and the subject line is Steve Buscemi's Magical Mystery Tour, Critical Analysis.
Oh, wow.
Tim, I've done the unthinkable and watched Grown Ups 2 despite your multiple warnings. This has led me down the deep, dark rabbit hole that is Steve Buscemi's character, Wiley, the driving instructor with 40% feeling in each arm. It is possible that the Steve Buscemi mystery... Magical Mystery Tour would be solved by watching Grown Ups 1, which I did not do. Given the Martin Scorsese level of depth in Grown Ups 2, I posit that all the answers are right in front of our eyes. The moose in the bedroom scene is clearly a nod to the horse head in The Godfather. To understand Wiley, let's first see what we know about the protagonist, Lenny Fader. Easy enough, right? Married to a smoking hot wife, lives in a big house, has some kids, and practically runs the town. He drives the school bus and the principal doesn't dare question it. He is well connected to friends in diverse occupations. Lenny nor his friends do not even pretend to put in a full day's work. They act like they own Suicide 35 because they own the town. He was able to pull off a large professional party at a moment's notice. This is the sort of thing you need permits and a month of planning for. He has a high-tech outdoor table for no reason. And of course, he's stinking rich. But where did all this money come from? We know, of course, Lenny Fader left this town, moved to Hollywood, made big bucks. Lenny says this himself. Every time it's his friends explaining exactly how he got so wealthy. The easiest lie to get people to believe is the one others tell for you. If Lenny's success were really true, wouldn't everyone know without having to be reminded? Wouldn't he have memorabilia of his films lying around? All these clues put together start to form a picture. 1. Massive wealth. 2. Circle of friends with varied skills. 3. Mystery past. 4. Town living in fear of him. 5. High-end gadgetry. Lenny is not a move man. I'm going to guess that was supposed to be movie man. He is the leader of the greatest team of heisters known to the FBI. What seems to be a goofy gag of pals is really an Ocean's 11 crew laying low until the next big score. Crew breakdown. Lenny Fader. Head of the friends, a mastermind of the gang. Roxanne Chase Fender effortlessly operates complex table technology and gadgetry and tech expert. Officer Flazoo, he's huge and has a gun. Weapons expert, strong man. Marcus Higgins, go-kart pro getaway driver. Kurt McKenzie, highly knowledgeable of building design and utilizing surveillance. John Lovitz, can insert himself into any situation, a social chameleon, a seducer of women. Eric Lamonsoff, completely loyal to Lenny Fader, the inside man. The picture is clear as day. Where does that leave Wiley? All signs point to the conclusion that he was the collateral damage of Lenny's big score. Things got heated. The cops were on their tail. Lenny had to act decisively. He put a bullet in Wiley, but it didn't kill him. In Grown Ups 2, it's demonstrated that Wiley isn't a fighter. He certainly isn't a killer. That's why Lenny holds up on him, checks up on him, in case he ever remembers the masked basketball shorts wearing robber that shot him that day in the Connecticut Gold Reserves. Wiley is bleeding on the floor of the Gold Reserves. Lenny leans in and delivers some threatening advice. Live every moment, love every day, because before you know it, your precious time slips away. And that's the Wiley origin story. Kind regards, Greg.
Greg, I admire your research, your prose, your theory. I mean, there's nothing about this which doesn't really ring true to me. I'm actually someone who's not seen Grown Ups 2 for some time, so I'm taking a lot of this on sort of cobbled together memories. But Tim, you did watch it recently.
Like within the last week.
How does this read to you?
Perfect. It all checks out.
Perfect in every conceivable way.
Yeah, I love the idea as well that it is. It's called Diminishing Returns is the podcast. Two guys who are big film buffs. They watch things and talk about them. And I joined them on an episode recently, which may or may not be out, about Grown Ups 2. First time I've seen the movie in about 6 years.
Funnier or less funny than it was 6 years ago?
Probably funnier, to be honest. Let it breathe a little bit. Yeah.
Still rate
David Spade. Still thought he was good.
He is funny. All right. I got one. Enough Facebook at the worst there of all time.
Go on.
Dear Grim and Fry.
Hello.
I was listening to the most recent Friendzone 129 and learned that Tim and I share a birthday. And my girlfriend's sister, but that's neither here nor there. Wait. Then where is it? This tickled me, and for some reason inspired me to hashtag pay the boys, hashtag but only once, hashtag it's not a recurring payment. Twilight has brought me much joy, but I can't help but wonder if you two would consider starting another podcast based on an idea my friend and I had but don't have the time or inclination to start. The premise: we review and comment on the same Reddit post, linked below, about a pot of chili, and interview guests about the post and ask them if, why, it may be the funniest content to have ever graced the internet. Your thoughts on the program are much appreciated. Say my dog's name, Harvey.
Harvey.
And then there's an attachment to a screenshot from a Reddit thread, r/slowcooking, and the heading is, accidentally overfilled the pot of chili again, and there's a photo of a pot of chili that's Well, it's real full. It's real full up.
Look, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I think it's a great idea. I think I have no desire to pick it up at all. I like the way that you seem to operate. You know, you've got a birthday. You occasionally will give us money, and you go on Reddit to look at pots of chili that are too full. There's nothing I don't like about your lifestyle, but there's quite a lot I don't like about mine. And one of them is overcommitting to podcasting bad ideas. And so while it's appreciated, it is respectfully declined.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Nicholas has written, "Hey, you filthy frost giants." And for some reason, frost giants is a hyperlink, which takes me to a Dungeons & Dragons explainer website where frost dragons are described. Do you ever refer to your podcast in combination as the Twilight Zone, pronounced similarly to Twilight Zone as possible? No? How about now? Still no, huh? Suit yourselves. If by some chance you read this in the Twilight Zone, say my name as if you've had a bit of a mouthful of food before discovering it was too spicy. Nick, oh, Gilbert, really Vancouver, BC.
Great performance.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick Gilbert, and thank you for the idea of calling it the Twilight Zone. It genuinely works because of my insistence on pronouncing every syllable. Now, this I'm fairly certain is in response to what we did in the last episode. There's two messages here, and I'm gonna read both. They're long. Okay. I'll read the first, which was sent on a Tuesday, and then I'll pause for reflection.
Okay.
And then we'll move on to the Friday.
Questions and comments, and then our second bit.
Hey, you good boys. Because you said Facebook is all caught up, I thought I'd put you back in the red. I'm just sitting in my work truck. I'm a mailman in Toronto, trying to keep cool with the outdoor temp pushing 34 degrees Celsius. Just as a sidebar here, I actually recently caught up with a friend in Toronto who said that they've had like 100% humidity but no rain for a month.
Jesus.
And so it reads 34, but it feels like 44. Oh, and I reckon the reason that's happening is because, everywhere's becoming too warm.
Imagine being a mailman in that kind of an environment.
He's in a truck, though. It's not so bad.
You got to leave the truck, though, every now and then.
You do. Trying to keep cool with the outdoor temperature 34 degrees and thinking of you beautiful Kiwis back in lockdown. Sadly, it's hard to imagine we'll be any different once our grommets go back to school in 2 weeks. What is wrong with people? I hope you guys are open back enough for Monty's big tour in the fall, and hopefully some clips end up on YouTube because my 13-year-old son has recently become interested in watching stand-up. And he was in stitches watching the news/athletes and the A to Z of healthy living. I'm proud of his good taste. Anyway, big love and awkwardly long kisses from Toronto. I bet Guy already did. But go ahead and say my name. And that's from Chris. If you are looking for more stand-up on YouTube, might I recommend Tim's iconic viral clip, which your whole gala, I actually watched it a few nights ago. Your whole gala set from the Christmas gala last year, Tim, is it's on your YouTube channel. And it really, you know, sometimes you're in the right frame of mind to watch stand-up. It really hit me. It's called Tim Bat, America, Drugs and Housing, or some combination of those words. And expand the oeuvre.
Shit, thanks, Guy. And I will absolutely respond in kind, which I was going to do anyway, even if Guy didn't mention that. That bit that Chris from Toronto. Am I saying it right? Toronto?
Toronto, yeah. Fuck that second T, brother.
Yeah, okay, sweet. Toronto?
Toronto.
Toronto. Toronto.
Hey, what do you think of Toronto?
What I do think about it is that Chris is right. That bit of yours is like fucking stellar. Possibly some of your best work on stage.
Which one?
And I've seen a lot of it. Your news bit. It's incredible. Oh, yeah.
That was
your
a great
deconstruction of the 6 o'clock news is sublime.
That was a very I've added one line to it that I wish was in that recording, but otherwise that was like, you know, very rarely do you have the set of your life at the right time. Like the number of great sets I've had in front of
a camera. A proper camera.
Yeah, proper camera. Is before that was probably it's not zero, but it's not high. But that was like I had the best set I've ever had at what was at the time the biggest taping I could conceivably hope to be a part of. And fuck, it felt good.
Is there do you have a clip of the A to Z bit you do from Chloe Swarbrick's fundraiser campaign? Yes. Is that's online, eh?
That's online. That's
people should look that up because Monty is a couple of sheets to the wind while performing it.
I absolutely am.
I think he's like in the exact right amount of buzz to perform it to like its comic maximum.
Yeah, that set is some people were commenting on it on YouTube today. It's inching towards 10,000 views on YouTube, which is, I know that it's not 10,000 is not a big number, and like, you know, these metrics are ridiculous because you go on TikTok and everything's been viewed a billion times, but God, I can't wait for that to for that to click over. I do keep an eye on that kind of thing. Yeah, do you love that shit?
I actively try to not. I try fair to enough. Tune it out as much as possible, but let's get it to 10,000, folks.
Well, like, you got to Google. Do you ever go on Aaron Chen's YouTube channel?
Nah.
That guy. He's like a set. I'm surprised he hasn't been able to get a genuine like Netflix stand-up special on the back of just how popular his clips are online.
Oh, do they go nuts? Do they? He's beloved and rightly so. The thing
he's one of the funniest.
He did with was it with Henry Stone?
Yeah, for Adult Swim, the interview one.
Yeah,
the masterclass on interviewing.
It's fucking amazing. It's so funny.
Fuck us. Look up Aaron Chen on YouTube and literally have the night of your life.
Tim and Guy can go to hell.
Here's the second half of Chris's message, and this is definitely in response to the disgusting riff we did on our second-to-last episode, or the one where we got caught in a biblical riff.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hey, quick note. Cain and Abel were brothers, the first people from Adam and Eve, although when they left the garden, they went out into a world that already had people in it. Anyway, Cain was jealous of Abel, so he fucking murdered him. And when he was asked where Abel was, he said, now famously, am I my brother's keeper? You guys were conflating that story with when Abraham was told to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him, but at the last minute, God sent a young bull which got entangled in the undergrowth, and Abraham was able to spare Isaac and sacrifice the bull instead. Super fucked up, still. And you'd have to imagine that pretty much killed Izzy's relationship with his old man. Okay, this note isn't quick. If you want sexy Bible stuff, I believe Jeremiah prophesied that Israel had been delivered from slavery to freedom, yet they lusted after their former lovers whose genitals were like those of horses and whose emissions were like those of donkeys. Also, some mild sexy talk in Song of Solomon, one of the shorter books in the Old Testament. Anyway, if you have to pick between this and the above note for a friend zone, take the former. As always, much love from Toronto, whereas you note, most people say Toronto, though I tend to stick the landings on the first O and second T. And that's also from Chris, obviously.
It's an unbeatable message. So, Chris, I just want to say congratulations on winning the friend zone. There's fucking
you don't
sublime.
Want to add to that?
Absolutely not. I've got nothing for it. Fair enough. Also got to go.
I see. You do. But that was 10.
That was completely shit hot.
Yeah.
The things that you've retained from your biblical education is good.
Crazy. Did you have religious education at your school, Tim?
We did in primary school.
Which not is at high school?
I was at a public school, but we did have RE, which was, it's one of those things you look back on it and it's like, that was weird in retrospect.
Yeah. I went to Anglican schools my entire upbringing and they really hammered that shit in. But to the point that it reversed course where it was just like, it removes all meaning. You're like, why are we listening to this still?
Would you go to mass at school? Do Anglicans have mass?
We don't have mass, but we had chapel. Tim, when I was at high school, get this, We went to chapel twice a week and had congregation practice once a week. We would all practice singing together, which was actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
And then you'd also have four compulsory chapel services that you have to go on a Sunday in your own time across every term.
Wow.
It was a lot.
As I've gotten older, I've got a lot more respect for certain components of religion.
Singing together
is a good thing
to
do.
The singing is fun. And it is actually weirdly, it is the thing that you do learn to miss.
Mm.
Like the singing is great fun.
Because you don't do that in secular society unless you're shit-faced and at a karaoke bar.
That's right, yeah.
It's fun, but it's different.
You don't get together at 8:30 on a Tuesday to just fucking belt out some hymns.
Mm. What I wouldn't give to round up a bunch of mates and just absolutely throw down with an 800-year-old Latin hymn.
Put half an hour of work in before heading to the office. Anyway, food for thought. Thanks for listening. Please continue your submissions. Tim's swimming in them. I'll
fire them over to you, mate. I'll give you access to the...
Always inspecting the FB.
To the box here.
And the tweets.
Sorry, we didn't mention this actually, but... Oh, no, we fucking did. We're in lockdown at the moment, and that means I've brought back Happening, which is the live streaming show that I do in lockdown sometimes. And if you want to catch up on some recent or old back episodes and catch the new streams that are coming out once every 2 days, just go to happeningshow.com.
It's literally one of the lights of my life. I love Happening, and I think you would too. If you've not checked it out, get on it, and we'll see you next time. In the friend zone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.